Welcome to the Deep Dive, where we take a stack of information, sift through it, and, well, extract the most important nuggets of knowledge and insight. Think of it as your shortcut to being truly well-informed. Today, we're doing a deep dive into an investment analysis for a company that literally builds and runs the world around us, Vinci SA. We've been handed a pretty comprehensive brief, actually, an in-depth investment analysis that peels back the layers on this massive global company, our mission. To help you understand what makes Vinci tick, its formidable strengths, the strategic challenges it faces, including a looming concession cliff, and, you know, where it's headed in this rapidly changing world.
Indeed. And we'll explore its truly unique integrated business model. It covers, well, everything from initial design and financing right through to construction and long-term operation. This end-to-end approach, it lets Vinci capture value at every single stage of a project's life. We'll delve into its surprisingly diverse segments, uncover its impressive financial prowess, and see how strategically it's aligning itself with some of the biggest global trends of our time, like the energy transition.
So if you're curious about the companies quite literally building the infrastructure of our future, managing the roads you drive on, the airports you fly from, and even the power plants that will light your homes, then you're in for a treat. Right, let's unpack this fascinating giant. So let's start at the very beginning. Who exactly is Vinci SA? It's a name many might not immediately recognize, but they are a truly global titan in concessions, energy, and construction, headquartered in Nanterre, France. What's their story?
Right. Vinci's roots, they stretch way back to 1899. So that gives them over a century of incredible history and experience. From those beginnings, they've expanded to operate in over 120 countries with a truly staggering global workforce of approximately 285,000 people. But what's absolutely critical to understanding Vinci and what genuinely sets them apart from, well, most of their peers is their integrated business model. They don't just act as a builder, they design projects, they often help finance them, they construct them, and then crucially, they operate and maintain these massive infrastructure projects for the long term.
Okay, so it's the whole life cycle.
Exactly. This comprehensive end-to-end approach allows them to capture value at every single stage of a project's life, from conception right through to decades of operation. Think of them as an indispensable long-term partner for both public and private sector clients, developing everything from complex transport systems like high-speed rail and motorways to major buildings and even vital energy and communication networks globally. That integrated approach sounds like a strategic weapon. It's not just about building, it's about owning and operating the future, isn't it? That must make them very resilient. How is such a vast and diversified operation actually structured internally? You're absolutely right. It is a strategic weapon. And the way they've structured their operations around several distinct yet highly complementary business lines is a core pillar of their overall resilience. Each segment, as we'll see, has its own economic cycle and a unique risk-return profile, which helps balance the group's overall performance. It's like having different engines, you know?
Yeah.
Each performing optimally in different conditions.
And at the very heart of their profitability, the engine room, if you will, is Vinci Concessions. This is where they really shine and where a lot of their value seems to be concentrated.
Precisely. The concession segment is Vinci's primary driver of profitability and, perhaps even more importantly, its free cash flow. It operates under long-term public-private partnership, or PPP, contracts, which are essentially long-term agreements with governments to build and then operate infrastructure. These contracts are incredibly valuable because they offer stable, highly predictable, and significantly often inflation-indexed revenue streams.
Inflation index. That's huge right now.
It's a huge advantage. The contractual protection against inflation, especially in today's economic environment, allows them to pass on rising costs and maintain margins.
So tell us about some of the key parts of this profitability engine. What are their biggest, most impactful concession assets?
Absolutely. First and foremost, you have Vinci Autoroutes. This is their historical cash cow, a true bedrock of stability. This division manages a vast network of 4,443 kilometers of motorways, almost exclusively located within France. It's a mature, high-margin business that consistently generates substantial and highly reliable cash flows, truly underpinning the entire group's financial strength. Then there's Vinci Airports, which is quite remarkable and often a surprise to people.
Yeah.
It's not just an operator. It's the world's leading private airport operator by passenger numbers.
The world's leading.
Yeah, managing a highly diversified portfolio of over 70 airports across 14 countries. This includes major international hubs like London Gatwick, Lisbon, and a significant network in Mexico. This provides both incredible geographic diversification and direct exposure to the structural growth of global air travel. As the world reopens and travel continues to expand, this segment is perfectly positioned for long-term growth. Vinci Highways is their dedicated unit for the international expansion of their concessions business. This arm operates motorways, bridges, and tunnels in 14 countries outside France. So effectively taking their proven successful concession model and replicating it globally, extending their reach far beyond their home market. And finally, other concessions rounds out this powerful portfolio. This includes strategic assets like Vinci Railways, operating high-speed rail lines, and Vinci Stadium, managing major public venues such as the iconic Stade de France. So it's a broad, diversified portfolio, all generating that stable, long-term, and typically inflation-protected cash flow.
That's a massive footprint in concessions. Truly impressive. But what about their energy business? That segment seems strategically very important for the future, especially given, you know, global trends.
It absolutely is. The Vinci Energy segment is strategically positioned right at the heart of what we call the twin transitions. The global energy transition towards renewables and the rapid, widespread digital transformation of our world.
Right. The twin transitions.
Exactly. This is a key growth area for Vinci, and it comprises two distinct yet powerful entities. First, you have Vinci Energies. This operates through a highly decentralized network of over 2,100 business units in more than 60 countries. They provide a vast array of multi-technical solutions for everything from energy infrastructure and complex industrial processes to information and communication technology, ICT, and smart building solutions. They're critical enablers of digitalization and decarbonization for their clients, essentially building the smart, sustainable infrastructure of tomorrow for businesses and communities alike. The second part is Cobra IS, or Industrial Services. This was a significant, even transformative acquisition from ACS at the end of 2021.
Cobra IS, okay.
Cobra IS is a global leader in engineering, procurement, and construction, or EPC, for large-scale energy projects. They have a strong presence in its domestic Spanish market and, importantly, in Latin America. But what's truly crucial at Cobra IS for Vinci's long-term strategy is that it also develops and owns its own portfolio of renewable energy assets.
So they're becoming a generator, too.
Exactly. This marks a strategic shift for Vinci into power generation itself, particularly solar. Moving beyond just building the infrastructure to owning and operating the energy-generating assets, this is a direct play to replace the future cash flow from their maturing motorway concessions.
And then, of course, there's Vinci Construction. This is where Vinci truly began, the very foundation upon which the entire group was built. What's its role now?
Exactly right. Vinci Construction is a world leader in its sector, operating in approximately 100 countries through 1,300 business units globally. It offers a comprehensive range of expertise in building projects, complex civil engineering, and transport infrastructure. Now, while it's a lower margin and more cyclical business compared to the highly profitable concession.
Lower margin, yeah. More ups and downs.
It provides immense scale, unparalleled technical know-how, and absolutely vital synergies with the group's other activities.
Mm-hmm.
Think of it as the core engine that provides the expertise for future concession projects, allowing them to bid on the most complex and largest infrastructure developments worldwide.
And what about their real estate arm, Vinci Immobilier? How does that fit into the broader picture? Seems a bit different.
It is a bit different. This segment focuses purely on property development in France, specifically designing and building residential and commercial properties. Its performance is closely tied to the health of the French real estate market. So that makes it one of the group's more cyclically exposed and, importantly, geographically concentrated businesses.
Right, tied to the French market.
Exactly. Its fortunes rise and fall directly with the domestic property market, so it's a smaller, more volatile piece of the pie compared to the global infrastructure giants.
It's fascinating how these pieces fit together. When you look at their financials, you might assume the biggest segments by revenue are also the most profitable. But that's certainly not the case here, is it? There's a massive difference in how much actual cash each segment generates.
You've hit on one of the most crucial insights into Vinci's financial architecture. An analysis of their financials reveals a clear and quite stark dichotomy in profitability between its segments. In fiscal year 2024, the concession segment, despite generating only $11.7 billion in revenue, which was just 16% of the group's total revenue, produced an astounding $5.7 billion in operating income from ordinary activities, or OIOA.
16% of revenue, but how much of the profit?
Well, that translates to an exceptional OIOA margin of 48.8%. Almost half of its revenue converts directly into operating income. Incredible efficiency.
Wow. 48.8%.
Yeah. Now, in stark contrast, VinCI Construction, the largest segment by revenue at $31.8 billion, that's a massive 44% of the total group revenue generated and only $1.3 billion in OIOA, for a much thinner margin of just 4.1%.
4.1%. Big difference.
Huge difference. The energy businesses, VinCI Energies and Cobra IS, posted more robust but still comparatively modest margins of 7.2% and 7.8% respectively. This immense cash-generating power of the concessions business with its 66.7% EBITDA margin.
EBITDA, right, the cash flow measure.
Exactly. Cash flow before interest, taxes, depreciation, amortization, and specifically VinCI Autoroutes with an incredible 70.8% and VinCI Airports at 63.7%. This effectively acts as a strategic weapon. This reliable high-margin cash flow subsidizes the growth, the significant capital investments, and the shareholder returns for the entire group. It's the engine funding the rest of the enterprise.
So it's not just a cash cow, it's almost like a strategic superpower in their arsenal. How does that unique financial muscle from concessions allow them to operate differently from their pure-play construction rivals?
It truly gives them a distinct advantage. Pure-play construction firms, they're highly susceptible to economic cycles, right?
Right, very boom and bust.
Exactly. When a downturn hits, projects dry up, margins get squeezed, and they often struggle to maintain investment or shareholder returns. VinCI, however, with its robust, predictable cash flow from concessions, has a stable base. It allows it to continue investing countercyclically. They can pursue strategic acquisitions, pour capital into long-term growth projects like renewable energy, and consistently reward shareholders even when the construction market is soft. This financial flexibility means they can play the long game, building out strategic assets and capabilities while competitors are simply trying to survive.
That makes a lot of sense. Given that, how geographically diversified is VinCI? Are they still heavily reliant on their home market, France, or have they truly spread their wings globally to mitigate risks?
They've very successfully pursued a long-term, deliberate strategy of internationalization to reduce dependence on its domestic French market. In 2024, France accounted for 42% of group revenue, which was $30.2 billion. However, international markets contributed the remaining 58%.
Over half now, internationally.
Over half. And more importantly, this isn't just about revenue. International operations now generate over 50% of the group's net income. This clearly shows the significant bottom-line impact of this diversification strategy. They have a truly global presence across more than 7,000 locations worldwide. Major operations spanning Europe, the Americas, and growing activity in Asia, Oceania, Africa, and the Middle East. It's a truly diversified geographic footprint, crucial for resilience.
Given all these different businesses, some stable and some more cyclical, how stable is their overall cash flow? Is it a consistent, predictable stream that investors can rely on?
Well, the group's entire business model is built on the complementary nature of its segment's cash flow profiles. The concessions business provides those highly predictable long-term cash flows we discussed, often contractually protected against inflation.
Right, that's stability.
That forms a wonderfully resilient foundation, almost like a giant annuity. The contracting businesses, VinCI Energies and Construction, on the other hand, operate on shorter project-based cycles, making their revenue and cash flow more sensitive to broader economic conditions. This integrated structure creates a powerful internal synergy. The highly reliable cash generated from concessions can be strategically reinvested into the higher growth, but more cyclical, contracting businesses.
Okay, so the cash cow funds the growth areas.
Exactly. Or used for strategic acquisitions and consistently returned to shareholders through dividends and buybacks. This unique model allows VinCI to navigate economic downturns with far greater stability than pure-play construction firms, while simultaneously funding its long-term growth ambitions. It's a really smart balancing act, you know, balancing stability with growth.
And this brings us back to that concession cliff we mentioned. While those French motorways are indeed the bedrock, they don't last forever. The primary long-term strategic imperative for VinCI is navigating the eventual expiration of its core French motorway concessions between 2032 and 2036. This is the bedrock of their profitability, and their finite lifespan creates a predictable but substantial future gap in stable cash flow. It's a massive challenge on the horizon.
This is absolutely critical, and it truly shapes every strategic decision the company makes. The French motorways are indeed the bedrock, and their expiry between 2032 and 2036 means every single major strategic move, from capital allocation to M&A, is fundamentally shaped by the need to acquire and develop new, long-life assets to replace this future earnings power.
Preparing for the cliff.
Exactly. The company is actively preparing for what some refer to as the concession cliff. The 2021 acquisition of Cobra IS, for example, wasn't just a bolt-on. It was a truly transformative step to build a new concessions-like business vertical in renewable energy. This directly hedges against the decline of traditional motorways, creating a new source of stable long-term cash flow. As of the end of 2024, Cobra IS already included 3.5 gigawatts, GW, of solar capacity either in operation or under construction.
3.5 gigawatts, that's substantial.
It's huge, enough to power millions of homes. It demonstrates significant progress in this vital strategic pivot.
So if that's Vinci's internal structure and strategy, let's zoom out and look at the broader industry. How is the global infrastructure and construction market looking? Is it a growth market or is it facing headwinds?
Well, the global infrastructure and construction sector is indeed poised for a significant rebound in 2025. Nominal spending is projected to reach an impressive $15.6
trillion. $15.6
trillion.
Wow.
Yeah. And this rebound is underpinned by powerful multi-year secular tailwinds. We're talking about robust government spending on infrastructure, the urgent global need for energy transition towards renewables, and the exponential growth in demand for digital infrastructure like vital data centers. There's also a notable accelerating shift in investment focus, moving away from traditional transportation projects towards utilities and energy infrastructure.
Driven by climate targets.
Directly driven by global climate targets.
Yeah.
Concurrently, fiscal pressures on governments worldwide are increasingly necessitating the role of private capital. This creates a very favorable environment for public-private partnerships, or PPPs, which, as we've discussed, is a core competency for Vinci. It's a compelling long-term outlook.
So lots of tailwinds pushing the industry forward, but are there any persistent challenges, any headwinds that major players like Vinci have to contend with?
Yes, absolutely. The industry faces persistent challenges, most notably a widespread shortage of skilled labor.
Ah, the labor shortage, that's everywhere.
It is. And it's a significant constraint, which can limit growth and consistently put upward pressure on project margins across the board. It's a global issue that all major players, including Vinci, have to contend with in their talent acquisition and retention strategies.
Given this complex landscape, how does Vinci stack up against its rivals? Where does it position itself in the global market, especially with that integrated model?
Vinci holds a formidable market position across its key segments, primarily due to its sheer scale, its deep technical expertise, and that integrated business model we've highlighted. In concessions, Vinci is undeniably a global leader. It's the world's largest private airport operator by passenger numbers and a dominant force in European motorway concessions. The barriers to entry in this space are exceptionally high. You need immense capital, profound technical and operational expertise, and the ability to forge long-term trusted relationships with government authorities.
Right. You can't just start an airport company overnight.
Not at all. And Vinci's integrated model, allowing it to design, finance, build, and then operate these assets, creates a significant competitive advantage that is very difficult for non-integrated players to replicate. In Energer, specifically through Vinci Energies and Cobra IS, it's a top-tier player in the European energy services market. Here, it competes with major firms like Equans,
which is owned by Bouygues, another rival.
Exactly, a subsidiary of Bouygues, as well as SPY and Ifige Energy Systems. The Cobra IS acquisition cemented its leadership in the Iberian Peninsula and provides a powerful platform for growth in Latin America, particularly in the renewable energy EPC market. EPC meaning engineering, procurement, and construction. And for construction, Vinci is the clear market leader in France, ahead of rivals like Bouygues Construction and Ifige. Internationally, it competes with other global giants, such as Balfour Beatty in the UK and the Walsh Group in the US, as well as large subsidiaries and materials companies.
Who are their most direct peers, especially considering their diversified nature? Are there other companies that truly mirror their integrated end-to-end approach?
That's a great question. Because their diversified nature means they compete with different firms across their various business lines. However, its most direct peers are other large integrated European infrastructure groups. Think of Ifige SA, another French competitor with a very similar business model combining concessions, primarily French motorways, and contracting encompassing construction and energy systems. Ifige is a direct and formidable competitor.
Right, head-to-head often.
Very often, especially for new PPP and construction projects in Europe. Then there's Bouygues SA, another diversified French conglomerate with a powerful presence in construction through Bouygues Construction and Colas, and in energy services via Equans. And of course, ACS from Spain remains a key global competitor in large-scale international projects, despite having sold Cobra IS to Vinci. Other significant competitors include Spain's Ferrovial SE, Sweden's Skanska AB, and the U.S.-based specialty contractor Quanta Services.
How much does public policy influence Vinci's fortunes? It seems like governments play an enormous role in this industry, dictating so much.
Oh, absolutely. The industry's fate is inextricably linked to public policy. It truly dictates the playing field. Government-led infrastructure investment programs, like the U.S. Inflation Reduction Act and the European Green Deal, are creating powerful multi-year tailwinds for Vinci's business lines.
Tailwinds, yeah.
These initiatives directly support demand for renewable energy projects, grid modernization, sustainable transportation, energy-efficient buildings, all core areas of Vinci's expertise. They're effectively riding the wave of government initiatives. However, the regulatory environment also presents significant risks. The profitability of Vinci's highly lucrative French motorway concessions, being such critical public assets, is naturally subject to political and regulatory scrutiny.
Which we saw happen recently.
Exactly.
Yeah.
This risk materialized quite tangibly in 2024 with the introduction of that new 4.6% tax on revenue from long-distance transport infrastructure in France. This measure directly impacts the earnings of Vinci autoroutes and serves as a stark reminder that governments can and do unilaterally alter the financial terms of concession agreements, even long-standing ones.
So, considering both these opportunities from government spending and the risks from new regulations, what does this all mean for Vinci's long-term position? Are they strategically well-placed?
Vinci's business portfolio appears exceptionally well-aligned with the dominant structural growth drivers of the coming decade. We're talking about global mega trends like energy transition, digital transformation, the push for sustainable mobility.
They're enabling these trends, not just benefiting.
Exactly. They are not just passive beneficiaries, but active enablers of these trends, building the very backbone of these shifts. This gives them a more resilient and higher growth profile than a pure play construction firm, potentially justifying a valuation premium compared to their peers. Furthermore, their multi-local operating model, which management consistently emphasizes, is a significant competitive advantage in an era of increasing geopolitical fragmentation and supply chain vulnerability.
Multi-local, meaning they use local resources.
Precisely. Think of it like a global restaurant chain sourcing ingredients locally. This decentralized structure relies heavily on local supply chains, regional management, and a domestic workforce for its projects around the world. For government clients awarding contracts for critical national infrastructure, this enhanced operational reliability makes Vinci a more attractive and lower-risk partner. It potentially leads to preferential treatment and procurement processes and further reinforces its market leadership. It's a smart way to navigate a complex global environment.
Let's shift gears and look at the numbers. How has Vinci performed financially over the past 5 years, especially navigating the profound challenges of the pandemic and its aftermath?
Vinci has demonstrated remarkably robust financial performance over the past 5 years, successfully navigating the pandemic's disruption and then capitalizing strongly on the recovery and its strategic acquisitions. Revenue has shown a very strong upward trajectory, growing from $43.2 billion in 2020, the peak of the disruption, to a record $71.6 billion in 2024.
That's quite a jump. What's the growth rate?
It represents a compound annual growth rate, or CAGR, of approximately 13.5%. This impressive growth was primarily fueled by the strong post-pandemic recovery in airport traffic and that transformative acquisition of Cobra IS from late 2021. Profitability has also expanded significantly. Operating income rebounded dramatically from a pandemic low of $2.5 billion in 2020 to an all-time high of $8.8 billion in 2024. The group's operating margin from ordinary activities steadily improved from 9.6% in 2021 to a robust 12.6% in 2024.
Driven by airports coming back.
Exactly. Driven by the return of high-margin airport traffic and strong operational performance and margin improvement within both the energy and construction segments. Net income attributable to owners also followed a similar positive trend, increasing from $2.6 billion in 2021 to $4.9 billion in 2024. Strong operating leverage there.
With all these big capital-intensive projects building and operating infrastructure, how strong is Vinci's balance sheet? Can it truly handle such ambitious undertakings without becoming, you know, over-leveraged?
Vinci maintains a strong and exceedingly well-managed balance sheet. It's specifically designed to support its inherently capital-intensive business model. As of December 31st, 2024, the group reported net financial debt of $20.4 billion. This figure did rise slightly to $23.3 billion, by mid-2025, primarily reflecting the financing of recent large acquisitions like Edinburgh Airport.
Okay, over $20 billion in debt. That sounds like a lot.
Well, while the absolute debt level might seem substantial, it is appropriately supported by the vast, stable, and critically long-duration cash flows generated by the concessions portfolio. This is key. The debt is backed by incredibly reliable revenue streams. Credit rating agencies, for their part, view Vinci's leverage as robust. S&P Global Ratings, for example, highlighted a very strong funds from operations, or FFO, to debt ratio of 47% in 2022. They forecast it to remain comfortably in the 37-38% range through 2025.
So manageable debt levels.
Very manageable. Indicates significant financial headroom. Furthermore, Vinci boasts exceptional liquidity. They had $11.0 billion in managed net cash and access to a further $6.5 billion in an unused confirmed credit facility as of June 2025. Ample resources. Plenty of breathing room, financially speaking.
So it sounds like they generate a lot of cash. How much and what does this impressive cash generation mean for their ability to fund everything they want to do, from growth to shareholder returns?
Vinci is truly a prolific cash-generating enterprise, which, as we've established, is a key tenet of its entire investment case. In 2024, cash flow from operations before tax and financing costs, EBITDA, reached an impressive $12.7 billion. Critically, the company exhibits outstanding conversion of these earnings into cash. Free cash flow, or FCF, hit a new all-time high of $6.8 billion in 2024, building on strong performances of $6.6 billion in 2023 and $5.4 billion in 2022.
$6.8 billion in free cash flow, that's the lifeblood.
It truly is the lifeblood of your capital allocation strategy. It's the engine that powers everything else, giving them immense strategic flexibility.
So how do they use all that cash? What's their strategy for deploying such a significant amount of capital across their diverse operations?
Vinci pursues a disciplined and well-balanced capital allocation strategy, directly enabled by its powerful FCF generation. First, they consistently reinvest in their asset base to maintain quality and drive organic growth. In 2024, operating investments, essentially CapEx, were $2.7 billion, while investments in concession assets totaled $1.5 billion.
Oh.
A growing portion of this future CapEx is being strategically directed toward developing renewable energy projects within Cobra IS.
Aligning with that strategic pivot.
Directly aligning with their long-term pivot away from the motorway concession cliff. Second, growth through value-accretive M&A is a core pillar of their strategy. The 2022-2025 period has been particularly active, deploying capital to acquire strategic, long-life assets to further diversify its concessions portfolio internationally. Major transactions include acquiring a majority stake in Edinburgh Airport, becoming the operator of Budapest Airport, purchasing the Northwest Parkway toll road in the U.S., and securing their first motorway concession in Brazil.
Big international moves.
Exactly. These aren't just any assets. Often major hubs or key infrastructure links, solidifying Vinci's position. This is complemented by a steady stream of smaller bolt-on acquisitions within Vinci Energies. Third, Vinci is committed to providing shareholders with a reliable and growing dividend. The proposed dividend for 2024 is 4.75 per share, up from 4.50 in 2023. The payout ratio has historically been around 50-57% of net income.
Sustainable payout.
Very sustainable policy. Balances returns with reinvestment. And finally, they regularly utilize share buyback programs to return additional capital and offset dilution. In 2025 alone, Vinci announced several tranches, authorizing repurchases of $375 million, $250 million, and $300 million.
That's a remarkable ability. The capacity to generate over $6.8 billion in free cash flow in a single year truly gives Vinci a strategic flexibility many peers lack. They can fund large-scale M&A, invest billions in organic growth, consistently increase dividends, and execute substantial buybacks without straining the balance sheet. It's almost like they have their own internal funding machine, allowing them to truly do it all.
It truly is a powerful competitive advantage, enabling Vinci to be opportunistic in acquiring assets and to outinvest competitors in high-growth areas like the energy transition, reinforcing its market leadership. However, while the balance sheet is robust, the recent shift in the global interest rate environment presents a tangible headwind.
Right, higher rates.
With a notable portion of the group's debt exposed to floating rates estimated at 58% at the end of 2022, the era of declining financing costs has effectively ended. S&P Global Ratings projects that cash interest payments could more than double over the 2023-2025 period, creating a direct drag on net income and free cash flow growth. This new reality also raises the required rate of return for new investments, potentially making it more challenging to find value-accretive M&A opportunities and compressing returns on future projects. It's a significant shift.
Moving on from financials, let's talk about the future. How much work does Vinci have lined up? Does their order book give them good visibility into future revenue, or are they constantly chasing new projects, making it a bit unpredictable?
Quite the opposite of unpredictable, actually. Their contracting businesses, Vinci Energy and Vinci A Construction, benefit from exceptional revenue visibility due to a record high and consistently growing order book. At the close of fiscal year 2024, the combined order book for these segments reached an all-time high of $69.1 billion, a significant 13% increase year-on-year.
$69 billion, that's huge visibility.
It is. And this positive momentum continued into 2025, expanding further to $71.3 billion by the end of the first half, a 6% increase from the prior year. This backlog provides visibility for more than 14 months of average business activity, which is a record level for them. This exceptional visibility affords the group the strategic luxury of being highly selective when bidding for new projects, allowing them to prioritize margin quality over mere volume.
They can pick and choose the best projects.
Exactly. And a crucial feature of this backlog, reflecting that response to the concession cliff challenge, is its increasingly international composition. 71% of the order book at mid-2025 was for projects outside of France, significantly de-risking the group from dependence on its domestic market.
We talked about the energy transition earlier and how Vinci is strategically pivoting towards it. How are they actively participating in this multi-decade trend beyond just building for others? Are they truly becoming an enabler of decarbonization?
The global energy transition is a truly central pillar of Vinci's long-term growth strategy. They are uniquely leveraging their dual expertise as both a constructor and an operator to capitalize on this multi-decade trend. Through Cobra IS, Vinci is aggressively building a portfolio of renewable energy generation assets, primarily solar photovoltaic plants. At the end of 2024, this portfolio stood at 3.5 gigawatts GW of capacity.
The 3.5 gigawatt again.
With 0.6 GW already operational in Brazil and 2.9 GW under construction in Spain, Brazil, and the United States, this strategy aims to create a new generation of long-term, concession-like assets that will generate stable revenue for decades through power purchase agreements. Simultaneously, Vinci Energies is a primary beneficiary of the massive investments required globally to modernize electrical grids, build data centers, improve energy efficiency in buildings and industrial sites.
All critical infrastructure.
Absolutely. Their consistently strong order intake reflects this robust demand. Vinci is also pursuing powerful synergies by developing renewable energy capacity on its existing infrastructure. Vinci Autoriz, for example, has identified about 1,000 hectares of land along its vast motorway network suitable for solar power, and Vinci Airports had 72.3 megawatts peak, MW Estela, of solar capacity already in operation across its network by end 2024.
Using their existing land.
Smart.
Very smart. Shows they're not just building new, but strategically optimizing what they already have.
Beyond the physical infrastructure, how is Vinci embracing digital innovation? Are they building smart infrastructure that leverages cutting-edge tech?
Vinci is indeed actively investing in digital innovation to enhance operational efficiency, improve safety, and create new value-added services for its customers. Their strategy is driven by a central innovation platform named Leonard, which acts as a forward-thinking lab, an incubator for internal entrepreneur projects, and a vital accelerator for startups that align with their vision.
Leonard, okay.
Practical applications are already being deployed, using AI to improve road safety monitoring in Peru, developing biometric passenger processing and robotic assistance at airports for a smoother traveler experience.
Great biometrics at airports, yeah.
And creating truly smart infrastructure that can communicate directly with connected vehicles, paving the way for autonomous mobility. Vinci Energies maintains its own dedicated innovation ecosystem, including the Interbiz Investment Fund, to partner with promising tech startups.
The need for infrastructure is immense globally, but public finances are often stretched, especially after recent events. Does this create even more opportunities for private companies like Vinci through public-private partnerships?
Absolutely. The structural funding gap in infrastructure, which continues to widen, exacerbated by fiscal consolidation efforts in many countries, creates a remarkably fertile environment for private sector participation through PPPs and concessions. Vinci, with its deep expertise, long track record, and integrated model, is ideally positioned to capitalize on this trend globally.
And they are capitalizing.
Their proactive pursuit is clearly evident in recent M&A and contract wins. From 2022 to 2024, they significantly expanded their international concessions portfolio with that Northwest Parkway toll road in the U.S., majority stake in Edinburgh Airport, operate a role at Budapest Airport, their first motorway concession in Brazil. They also secured new long-term PPP contracts, like the D4 motorway in the Czech Republic, demonstrating a robust and active pipeline for future growth. They're actively creating opportunities, stepping into gaps where public funding is insufficient.
So, given all this, particularly that record high and increasingly international order book, what does this all mean for Vinci's resilience to potential domestic market challenges? If France, their home base, were to slow down, are they truly protected?
The record high and increasingly international order book serves as a powerful defense against potential weakness in its French home market. With the French property development sector facing a crisis and concerns about a potential slowdown in public investment after the 2026 municipal elections, the domestic outlook carries uncertainty.
Right, domestic uncertainty.
However, the multi-year revenue stream secured by the $71.3 billion backlog, 71% international, provides a substantial buffer. This geographic and project-based diversification significantly de-risks Vinci's near-term revenue and earnings profile, allowing it to navigate a potential domestic downturn while capitalizing on growth abroad. It's a proactive mitigation strategy. More broadly, Vinci is undergoing a profound strategic transformation, from being seen primarily as a traditional builder to becoming a key enabler of decarbonization. This shift is reflected in its strategic priorities, heavily focused on assets and services that directly facilitate the energy transition. Building and owning renewable power plants, modernizing grids, developing low-carbon transport infrastructure, this strategic direction is reinforced by a clear commitment to its own environmental targets, including an SBTi-validated goal to reduce Scope 1 and 2 emissions by 40% by 2030.
SBTi-validated. That's credible.
Very credible. Scope 1 is direct emissions. Scope 2, indirect from purchased electricity. As investors increasingly assign value to ESG leadership and the long-term non-cyclical growth associated with decarbonization, this transformation could lead to a fundamental re-rating of Vinci's valuation multiple over time. The market may begin to value the company less like a cyclical construction firm and more like a higher multiple industrial technology or green infrastructure utility.
Shifting to more immediate concerns, the post-pandemic world has seen a lot of inflation. How has Vinci managed rising material and labor costs across such a vast operation, particularly in construction?
Well, the global construction industry has indeed contended with significant cost inflation for both materials and labor. Vinci has effectively managed these pressures through a very disciplined approach. Management has consistently emphasized a strategy of being highly selective with new projects, prioritizing margin protection over mere revenue volume.
Margin over volume.
Exactly. This approach has actually allowed the construction segment to improve its profitability despite the inflationary backdrop, which is quite impressive. For the concessions business, quite remarkably, inflation has been a net positive. Those contractual frameworks link annual tariff increases directly to inflation, providing a natural and powerful hedge.
So concessions benefit, construction manages.
Largely, yes. It protects margins and cash flows from the inflationary squeeze in concessions.
And on the labor front, with all that growth and expansion, is the skilled labor shortage impacting them? Are they struggling to find enough qualified workers?
Well, a persistent shortage of skilled labor in construction and engineering globally has created a highly competitive labor market and put upward pressure on wages. Vinci's significant growth necessitated a substantial expansion of its workforce, which grew to nearly 280,000 employees in 2023. They hired over 92,000 people in that year alone.
92,000 hires in 1 year.
Yeah, reflects the high demand for talent across all its business lines. It's an ongoing management challenge, but they've been actively addressing it through aggressive hiring and training initiatives, crucial for their continued growth.
We touched on interest rates earlier, but let's delve deeper. What's the full, multifaceted impact of rising rates on Vinci's financial health and future prospects, especially with such a capital-intensive business model?
The sharp rise in global interest rates since 2022 has had a multifaceted and material impact on Vinci. Firstly, higher rates directly increase the cost of capital, making it more expensive to finance new, large-scale concession projects and acquisitions.
Changes the economics of deals.
Fundamentally, the hurdle rate for profitability becomes higher. Furthermore, a higher discount rate can negatively affect the theoretical valuation of its existing portfolio of long-duration concession assets. Future cash flows are valued less in today's money, and perhaps most directly, with that significant portion of its debt, 58% end of 2022, tied to floating rates, the increase in benchmark rates has directly translated into much higher interest expenses.
A headwind for profits.
A tangible headwind for net income growth and free cash flow conversion. The era of cheap money is over for now, meaning Vinci needs to be even more selective with its capital deployment.
In a more unstable world, with conflicts and tensions in various regions, are there significant geopolitical risks to consider for a company with such a sprawling global footprint?
Absolutely. Vinci's management has explicitly identified geopolitical instability as a key risk, given operations spanning over 120 countries. Specific concerns include potential for ongoing conflicts, particularly in the Middle East, to disrupt global air traffic, which would directly impact VinciAI Airport's passenger volumes and earnings. Furthermore, the company's widespread international operations inherently expose its employees and projects to heightened security risks in politically unstable regions, requiring constant vigilance and robust risk management.
How has the recovery from the pandemic played out for Vinci, especially for their airport business, which was so heavily impacted?
The recovery has been a dominant and largely positive theme. VinciAI Airports has been a primary beneficiary. Passenger numbers recovered strongly and, remarkably, surpassed pre-pandemic 2019 levels by 3.7% in 2024.
Back above 2019 levels, that's strong.
Very strong. This momentum continued into the first half of 2025, with traffic growing a further 6.4% year-on-year, driving a significant earnings rebound. Traffic on VinciAI routes has also proven highly resilient, remaining stable in 2024 despite domestic disruptions like farmer protests, supported by increased international and tourist traffic. The underlying demand for mobility has proven very robust.
Given their strategic focus on growth and internationalization, have there been any major contract wins or losses recently? They seem to be very active with acquisitions, too.
Vinci has indeed been highly active on the corporate development front. Key M&A transactions include those strategic acquisitions of majority stakes in Edinburgh and Budapest airports and the Northwest Parkway toll road in the U.S., all diversifying the international concessions portfolio.
Critical steps for replacing those French motorway earnings eventually.
Exactly. They've also secured major new contracts, including large EPC projects for power transmission infrastructure for Cobra IS in Germany and Brazil, and several contracts related to sustainable mobility for VinciAI Construction. Crucially, no significant contract losses reported.
And finally, a notable recent development was that new French tax we touched on earlier. What was the tangible financial impact of that regulatory change, and what does it signal for Vinci's strategy?
Right. The most material recent development has been the introduction of that new tax on long-distance transport infrastructure in France, effective in 2024. This 4.6% levy on revenue directly targets Vinci's most profitable assets, particularly VinciAI autoroutes. The company reported this new tax had a negative impact of $284 million on its 2024 earnings, highlighting the tangible and direct financial consequences of adverse regulatory and political actions.
284 million euros, a clear example of political risk.
Absolutely. The imposition of this tax, while clearly negative for near-term earnings, may have the unintended consequence of accelerating Vinci's strategic pivot toward international markets. It explicitly signals that the highly profitable French concessions are a convenient target for fiscal measures, thereby increasing the perceived political risk in Vinci's home market.
So it strengthens the case for going global even more.
Exactly. It strengthens the strategic rationale for geographic diversification. As a result, investors might anticipate an even greater focus on international M&A to reduce long-term dependence on a single and now more assertive regulatory regime. Concurrently, the strong recovery in the airport's business is entering a new phase. The initial surge driven by pent-up revenge travel demand is maturing.
The revenge travel boom is fading.
It's normalizing. While growth remains solid, it's normalizing from the exceptional rates seen in 2022 and 2023. This shift means future growth will be less about the macro recovery and more dependent on underlying economic growth and Vinci's specific operational capabilities. The focus for investors now shifts to Vinci's ability to drive route development, enhance passenger experience, and grow high-margin non-aeronautical revenues like retail and parking across its global network.
This is where the rubber meets the road. How do you even begin to value a company this complex, with so many different businesses and revenue streams, each with its own risk profile? It must be a significant challenge to derive a single value.
It absolutely is. A multifaceted valuation approach is necessary to accurately assess a complex, multidivisional company like Vinci. This analysis incorporates historical trading multiples, a detailed sum of the parts valuation, and careful consideration of discounted cash flow methods. Each method offers a different lens, and together they provide a more holistic picture.
So, starting with history, what do Vinci's historical trading multiples tell us? Does past performance give us any clues about its current market value?
Well, an examination of Vinci's historical valuation multiples provides important context. Vinci's trailing 12-month TTM price-to-earnings, or PE, ratio is approximately 14.7x. This is notably below its 10-year historical average PE of 17.2x, suggesting potential undervaluation relative to its own history.
Below its own average. Interesting.
Compared to its direct French peer, Bouygues, it trades at a similar multiple of around 14-15x, but at a discount to other pure-play infrastructure players like Ferrovial, which tends to command a higher multiple. Looking at the TTM enterprise value to EBITDA, or EVBITDA ratio, it currently stands at approximately 7.7x. This is also below its 5-year average of 9.5x and represents a significant contraction from the peak of 12.6x seen in 2020. Importantly, this multiple represents a premium to more construction-focused peers like IFIG at 5.8x and Booz around 5.5x.
So a premium to construction guys, but maybe not to pure infrastructure?
Exactly. This premium for Vinci is clearly justified by its superior earnings quality from its high-margin concessions portfolio. So the market recognizes the value of those concessions to a degree.
That makes a lot of sense. But if we want to truly understand Vinci's inherent value, particularly given its diverse segments, the sum of the parts, SOTP methodology, seems like the most logical approach. How does that work for a company like this, and what does it reveal?
The sum of the parts, or SOTP methodology, is indeed the most appropriate valuation framework for Vinci, because it allows for a distinct valuation of each business segment based on its unique risk profile and growth prospects. This approach can often reveal value that is otherwise obscured when you just apply a single blended multiple to the entire conglomerate.
Right, valuing the apples and oranges separately.
Exactly. The methodology involves applying a relevant EV/EBITDA multiple, derived from comparable public companies, to the EBITDA of each of Vinci's business segments. The resulting enterprise values are summed, and then corporate-level adjustments, like net debt, non-controlling interests, are made to arrive at an implied equity value per share. For the concession segment, this warrants the highest multiple, due to its stable, long-term, inflation-protected cash flows. Pure-play airport operators and infrastructure funds typically trade in a range of 10.0x to 15.0x EBITDA. A midpoint of 12.0x is appropriate. For the energy segment, including Vinci Energies and Cobra IS, this is a high-growth area, exposed to electrification and digitalization trends. Peers trade 8.0 by 12.0x, so a midpoint multiple of 10.0x is justified. And finally, construction, being the most cyclical and lowest margin segment, commands the lowest multiple. Peers typically trade 4.0x to 6.0x EV/EBITDA. A midpoint of 5.0x is used.
So applying those different multiples, what's the result?
Applying these multiples to Vinci's 2024 segment EBITDA figures suggests a total enterprise value significantly higher than that implied by the current stock price, which strongly indicates potential undervaluation.
That's fascinating that some of the parts can reveal so much. And what about discounted cash flow, or DCF? Which aims to give us a theoretical intrinsic value. How does that factor in, and how sensitive is it to different assumptions?
DCF analysis provides an intrinsic value estimate based on projecting future cash flows and discounting them back. However, its output is highly sensitive to key assumptions, especially the discount rate used, the required rate of return. Publicly available DCF models for Vinci show a wide range of outcomes. For instance, one model, using a relatively high cost of equity of 9.2% and a terminal growth rate of 1.8%, drives a fair value of €109 per share. Another, using a lower discount rate of 6.69%, calculates €167 per share.
A huge difference, from 109 to 167?
Exactly. This significant discrepancy underscores just how sensitive the valuation is to the discount rate assumption. The current high interest rate environment likely pushes analysts toward using higher discount rates, which mechanically lowers their valuation targets. Conversely, a future decline in interest rates could serve as a powerful catalyst for upward revisions to these DCF-based price targets.
So bringing it all together, what's the overall consensus among the experts who follow the stock? Do they see it as undervalued or fairly priced, considering all these complexities?
The consensus among sell-side analysts who cover Vinci is overwhelmingly positive. Of 24 analysts covering the stock, a remarkable 88% have a buy or outperform rating.
88% buy or outperform, that's strong.
It is. The average 12-month price target is approximately 138.50, with a range spanning from a low of 128 to a high of 145. indicating a strong belief in significant upside potential. Vinci's valuation presents a clear narrative. It trades at a premium to pure-play construction companies, justified by the superior quality and stability of its earnings from the concessions business. However, it simultaneously trades at a discount to pure-play infrastructure and airport operators.
This conglomerate discount stems from the market penalizing it for the lower margin, more cyclical contracting activities.
So the good stuff is being dragged down by the construction side, valuation-wise.
That's the argument. The SOTP analysis strongly suggests the market undervalues the high-quality concessions portfolio by applying a blended multiple that's overly penalized by the contracting segments. This disconnect forms the core of the undervaluation thesis for Vinci.
No investment is without risk, especially one as large and globally diversified as Vinci. Despite all its strengths, what are the key risks inherent in Vinci's business that investors need to be aware of? A comprehensive analysis absolutely requires a thorough evaluation of the risks. These can be broadly categorized as business and financial, concession-specific, and regulatory and political, starting with business and financial risks. While concessions are resilient, the contracting businesses, construction, and parts of energy are cyclical. A significant economic downturn could lead to project deferrals or cancellations, reduced order intake, and pressure on profit margins.
Vulnerable to economic cycles.
Definitely. Furthermore, a substantial portion of the order book is linked to public sector projects. A shift in government priorities away from infrastructure or severe fiscal consolidation could reduce the project pipeline. Lastly, managing large, complex projects carries inherent operational risks. Unforeseen technical difficulties, labor disputes, supply chain disruptions, all can lead to costly delays and budget overruns.
And what about risks specific to their concession assets, which are so central to their profitability? What are the unique vulnerabilities there?
This is indeed where the most significant long-term structural risk lies: the concession renewal and expiry risk. The core French motorway concessions, the primary source of profit and cash flow, are scheduled to expire between 2032 and 2036.
The concession cliff again?
Exactly. There's no guarantee of renewal, and if they are, it will likely be on less favorable terms. Vinci's ability to successfully replace this immense earnings stream through new international concessions and renewable energy assets is absolutely critical. Furthermore, concession revenues are directly correlated with traffic volumes. Events that suppress travel, a severe recession, a future pandemic, a sustained spike in fuel prices could lead to a significant decline in motorway traffic and airport passengers, directly impacting revenue and cash flow. Looking at specific financial risks, Vinci's capital-intensive model relies on significant debt. A sustained period of high interest rates increases the cost of servicing existing floating-rate debt and raises the cost of financing new acquisitions and projects.
Compressing margins, making deals harder.
Right. Additionally, with 58% of its revenue generated outside the Eurozone, Vinci is exposed to foreign exchange rate fluctuations. Adverse movements in key currencies like the U.S. dollar, British pound, Brazilian real against the euro can negatively impact the translation of international earnings and cash flows. Finally, we have regulatory and political risks. The high profitability of Vinci's concession assets makes them a natural target for political intervention.
Like that French tax.
Precisely. The 2024 introduction of the new tax on French transport infrastructure is a prime example of this risk materializing, directly reducing profitability. The risk of further taxes, tariff freezes, or other unfavorable regulatory changes remains a key concern. While increasingly diversified, the group's profitability remains heavily weighted towards France, creating some geographic concentration risk. Expanding internationally, particularly in emerging markets, exposes the company to greater political instability, regulatory uncertainty, and potential geopolitical conflicts.
If someone is following Vinci, perhaps as a potential investor or just someone wanting to stay informed, what are the most important numbers and trends to keep an eye on to truly understand its health and future direction?
To effectively monitor Vinci, there are specific key performance indicators, or KPIs, that provide invaluable insight into the health and trajectory of its diverse business lines. At the segment level, for Vinci concessions, you want to closely monitor year-on-year and versus pre-pandemic 2019 growth in motorway traffic light and heavy vehicles and airport passenger numbers. A sustained slowdown here indicates demand weakness. Also, track revenue per passenger for airports. To measure effectiveness in maximizing non-aeronautical revenue like retail, parking, services, which are often high margin. For Vinci Energy, including Energies and Cobra IS, look at order intake and the book-to-bill ratio. Consistently above 1.0x indicates growing demand.
Getting more orders than they're finishing.
Right. Monitor the operating margin trend to assess cost management and pricing power. Critically, track the growth in gigawatts, GW, of renewable energy capacity in operation and under construction. That's the measure of progress in the strategic pivot. For Vinci Construction, beyond the sheer size of the order book, assess management commentary on the expected profitability of new contracts. A deteriorating margin on new orders can be a leading indicator of increased competition or inability to pass on costs. Now, at the group's financial health metrics level, free cash flow, FCF, generation, is arguably the single most important metric. Track absolute FCF and its conversion from EBITDA. A sustained decline could signal deteriorating operations, poor working capital management, or rising interest costs. Closely monitor the net debt EBITDA ratio, especially during significant M&A activity, to ensure it remains manageable, say, below 3.0 by 3.5x.
Keeping leverage in check.
Exactly. Evaluate the return on invested capital, ROIC, particularly after large acquisitions, to determine if investments are generating returns above its cost of capital and creating value. And for leading indicators, keep a keen eye on government infrastructure budgets. Announcements of new or expanded spending programs in key markets like France, Germany, UK, USA, Brazil provide a forward-looking view. Long-term interest rate trends are also crucial. Changes in sovereign bond yields influence financing costs and asset valuations. Lastly, the Purchasing Managers Index, PMI, for construction gives a timely read on the sector's health in key European economies. #outro.
So what does this all mean for you, our listener? Vinci SA truly stands out as a high-quality global leader in the infrastructure sector. Its integrated business model, combining the stable, high-margin, cash-generating concessions with the scale and growth potential of its energy and construction businesses, provides a formidable competitive advantage.
It has delivered consistent growth, generated record-free cash flow, and is strategically positioned to capitalize on global megatrends like energy transition, digital transformation, sustainable mobility. The sum of the parts analysis indicates potential undervaluation, suggesting the market may not be fully appreciating that high-quality concessions portfolio.
But as we discussed throughout this deep dive, it's not without significant risks. The concession cliff, the expiry of its core French motorway concessions in the 2030s, is a major long-term structural challenge demanding continuous response. And nearer term, there's regulatory and political risk, as evidenced by that new tax, plus the ongoing financial impact of a higher interest rate environment.
The company's future value creation hinges squarely on its ability to successfully execute its strategy. Replacing legacy concession earnings with new international infrastructure and, crucially, a rapidly growing portfolio of renewable energy assets. That strategic pivot defines their future.
It makes you wonder if Vinci successfully transforms itself from primarily being seen as a traditional builder to becoming a true enabler of decarbonization, actively building and owning the green infrastructure of the future. Well, will the market finally value it less like a cyclical construction firm and more like a higher multiple green infrastructure utility? That's certainly something to mull over. That's our deep dive into Vinci SA for today. We hope you feel a little more informed and perhaps a lot more curious about the massive infrastructure that shapes our world, often right under our noses. Until next time, keep digging into the details.